Blog Talk Radio.
Unfair taxes, unfair racism, inequality, unfair justice. Wow, isn't that kind of ironic? Unfair justice. They don't even seem to go in the same phrase, unfair justice. Anyway, we have unfair justice. Unfair treatment of others. We have aging, poverty, mental illnesses, we have homelessness, we have child abuse running rampant, we have domestic violence out of control, there's crime everywhere. The list continues on and on and on. What's really going on? These social issues, these concerns, these problems, just unfair. And we think, are there any solutions? Of course, we have discussions and we have compromise and we have agreement. Hopefully, that's equitable to everybody concerned. We have action. Wow, what a mess. Hello, I'm Rose Hart, and welcome to If These Things Be So. This is a program that refers to the Word of God, and we share issues from the Word of God as it pertains to us as we journey through this natural world. We welcome you this morning, and here at If These Things Be So, we welcome and encourage you to be an active participant in the program, in the broadcast program. We want you to be able to share what's on your mind in the form of a question or a comment. Or if you just want to say what's on your mind, we want you to really be a part of it. And if you dial 657-383-0361, you can just press 1, and the producer will cue you in and let me know there's someone on the line. And if you're so inclined to not want to be live on the broadcast program, just dial 319-471-3074 and just text your message. The producer will let me know I have a text, and we will acknowledge and discuss what's on your mind. We want you to feel comfortable and be a part of the program. This program is not based on theologians and Bible scholars and all of that. We're just regular, everyday, ordinary people that want to discuss the Word of God and welcome comments, whatever they may be. If I can't answer a question, I will surely get back to you on a future program. If I give an answer that or response that you don't agree with, that's fine. We don't have to agree, but we can just discuss. We are based biblically, and there may be some issues that you don't agree with, or maybe you don't understand, or maybe you don't know, or maybe you haven't heard about. And we're not here to condemn. That's not what we're doing. We're just talking and sharing. And we want you to be a part of that. And I don't want you to be like me. I used to listen to these programs, and I would never, ever, ever call in. I was afraid to. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know if what I had to say would be stupid, would be dumb, would not make any sense, any of that. I had no idea. And so I was afraid, and I never called in. But I would like to encourage you and invite you to just take a chance. If you feel the urge, just give a call. You know, it's your phone. you are in charge of your phone, and you are the boss of your phone. And you talk to strangers and people all the time on your phone. They call you, oh, I'm sorry, I had the wrong number. You respect them, and you say, okay, that's okay. You talk to people on your job. When you first go to a job, you don't know anybody. You ask questions. What is the boss like? What does he want us to do? When is lunch? When do we get a break? All those kinds of things. When you go to school, you talk to strangers. You're in the same class. Well, what is the professor like? Does he give a lot of tests? Does he give a lot of assignments? Does he have long-term papers? On and on and on. So I just want to kind of reassure you that whatever you have to say will be respected. We're not here to put anybody on blast. We just want to discuss, and we just want you to feel free that you can do that and know that you won't be put down or that we will argue with you. We may not agree on everything. That's okay. You may not agree with me. I may not agree with you, but just call. And just let us know what's on your mind. We really appreciate it. And we also thank you for giving some of your time today to listen to our broadcast. You know, living today is not easy. And especially in today's world, it can be sometimes a heavy burden to carry. So often the load can be so difficult that our knees buckle, to where eventually we collapse. We throw in the towel, we give up, we just say, I'm through, I'm done, no more. And that really is a sad state of affairs. You know, that's a sad day. And what's even sadder is that all our social dilemmas and issues that we talked about earlier, they don't just involve adults. They're just not adult worries. They involve children. And one of the unfortunate realities of living in this world is that we coexist with bullies. Bullies have been here since the dawn of time, since the beginning of people. Way back, Cain and Abel, and on and on and on. We just can't seem to get rid of them. They seem to be an excellent part of our life. Excellent in that they're always present. They always keep us on our toes. They make us have to be aware and conscious of our every move, our every thought, our every decision. But in reality, it's horrible. It's horrible to be under thumb, to be subjected to brutality and fear, and it's just crazy. And while bullying is just not a new phenomenon, it's still a major problem. Children deal with bullies every day. People work with bullies every day on their job. There are bullies in the neighborhood. There's bullies out in the public. And yes, sad to say, there's bullies in the church. Bullies everywhere. They inhabit our every sphere of our life. They just do. You just can't seem to get away from them. And we all know what a bully is. We all know what a bully is. You know, we have definitions and our own take on what a bully is. And bullying has become so rampant and so out of control that kids and adults need professional treatment, professional help to help that victim cope with a bully and what a bully does. You know, bullies use threats. They use threats of coercion to intimidate others. They use repeated aggressive behavior. Now, you know, that sounds psychological, aggressive behavior, but that's what they do. they use repeated aggressive behavior intending to hurt somebody or force somebody to do whatever they want them to do. That's crazy. And, you know, we can spot a bully far away. Bullies are characterized by, you know, using that physical or emotional tactic that includes harassment, whether it's physical or verbal. They use threats. They use physical assault. They use intimidation. And just to gain control and power over others. They see the weakness in others or think they see the weakness in others, and they just go for it. They just dive in. And since this is becoming so rampant, I did some research on bullies, and it's kind of intriguing. The word bully was first used in the 1530s, way back then, even way back then. And it came from the old Dutch language, which means, get this, it means sweetheart, lover, brother, depending on the person, or refers to some fine gentleman or fine lady. Can you imagine that's what a bully is? And so, but over the years, the word bully has degenerated to refer to ruffians or people with ill behavior, and it also is really especially referring to the protector of prostitutes. Who would have thought that? The protector of prostitutes, of course, we know them as pimps. But when you look at them, a pimp is a bully. Or are they? Are they really protectors of prostitutes? You know, back in the day, a few years back, a bully was just somebody that wanted to take your lunch at school or wanted a dime or a quarter or wanted you to do their homework or do some chores that they had to do. Remember Tom Sawyer? Remember he got everybody to whitewash that fence? I don't know if he was such a bully, but he coerced them into doing his chores. And so it was bad enough, but it wasn't on the scheme of it as it is now. Bullies have graduated to being the top contender for reasons why young people have suicide completion. And the reason I say suicide completion, because there are many, many young people that attempt and don't succeed, but many, many do. And it's so sad. I remember in school when I was a teacher, we had a 13-year-old, and he was just a regular kid, but he didn't dress the way people did. He didn't have the fine designer shoes. Sometimes he came to school kind of dirty. He had a single mom, and they didn't have a lot of money. He rarely had lunch. And the kids teased him and tormented him such that he was miserable. And finally, one day, it just got so bad that during school time, he climbed up to the roof of the school. Everybody had gathered around and tried to just, you know, they just looked. Some of the teachers were telling him, don't. Then there was one person that got up to the roof and tried to talk to him. And he just flung himself off. And we remember the times when he said, well, they talk about my clothes and they talk about my mom. And they talk about how I look, and they talk about how I smell. And it was just so sad, 13 years old. There was a case on the news. And see, we're all familiar with bullies. It's not something that's way away in the news, this country, that country, wherever. It's right here at home. We probably know some. We probably know some people that are being bullied or were being bullied. We may even have been a bully ourselves. And I'm sure we have experienced either side one way or the other. And sometimes bullying is so drastic. In the news a few months ago, there was a story of a 10-year-old girl. And it was just a typical morning. The mom was getting breakfast ready, and she even remembers what she was preparing that morning for breakfast. And it was 7:30, and she was wondering why her daughter hadn't come down for breakfast. She's never late. She's always on time. Good little kid. So she called her and called her, and there was no response. So she finally went upstairs to look for her. She wasn't in the bathroom. She wasn't in her bedroom. She wasn't in the mom's room. She kept calling and calling, and there was no answer. Well, she was, the mom was wondering, where could she be? She didn't leave the house. So she finally went back into her daughter's room and looked in the closet. Maybe she was in the closet trying to change her clothes, whatever. And her mom found her, 10 years old, hanging from the closet with a belt around her neck. So sad. The mom immediately got her down because she hadn't died yet. But as soon as the mom had got her down and taken that belt off her neck, the little girl took her last breath in her mom's arms. How sad is that? 10 years old kid. 10 years old. We live in an unfair world. We live in an unfair society. We see unfairness everywhere we turn around. Unfair. How do you think that mom felt? And come to find out during the investigation, it was the same old story. They talked about her. They didn't like the way she dressed. She didn't have very many friends. They didn't like the way she looked. Typical. Typical prey for what a bully can do. When people aren't the same, when they don't look the same, when they don't act the same, they're targets. And usually, they wind up being bullied. And I did research on this, and I would just like to give you a few statistics. Suicide among young people is the third leading cause of death among children ages 10 to 14. The third leading cause after cancer and accidents. Unintentional accidents, just regular accidents. And last year there was 4,400 deaths as an average in suicides ages 10 to 14. 4,400 deaths of little bitty kids. You have nieces and nephews that are 10 years old. You have neighbors that are 10 years old. You have friends who have children that are 10 years old. 10! They're babies. In ages 15 to 24, suicide is second after accidents and homicide. Accidents are first, suicide is second, then you have homicide. And these are studies taken from Yale University. So they're kind of probably fairly accurate. ABC News says that 30% of students were either bullied or bullies themselves. And every day throughout America, there's an average of 160,000 kids that don't go to school that day because they're afraid of being bullied. Can you imagine 160,000 kids on a daily basis that don't want to go to school for fear of being a bully or being bullied by somebody else? Is a major problem. This is a major problem. And our scripture reference is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 54. And we won't read it all right now, but I want you to read it in your spare time and just to see what bullies do and to see how bullies act. Usually, they're very characteristic. You know, and for you note takers, when you go through the scripture, think about it. Think about when you read that scripture, think about the bullies that are here today in America. You know, sometimes we don't think about it because it's not personally our kids or not personally in our family. But they are everywhere. We know it, but since, you know, sometimes we get to be where if it's not happening to me personally, well, you know, it's not that bad. It's bad, it's sad, but it's not that bad. But it is that bad. When we have almost 200,000 kids that don't want to go to school because of fear, when we have first and second and third place suicide rates for young people's death, for young people's death, can you imagine? I have a family member that goes to high school. Well, she just graduated high school a couple of years ago. And within her 4 years at that school, four of her personal friends committed suicide. Four. The first friend that died, she was just devastated. She couldn't sleep at night because they studied together. They were in the same classes together. And she had no idea that he had that much trouble and problem at home. She just was unaware. And see, sometimes a bully victim doesn't obviously let on all the time. Don't obviously let you know what's going on. Eventually they may, but a lot of times, oftentimes, they don't. And I would just like to give a few more characteristics of a bully before we go on. Bullies lack empathy for others. They don't care about anybody else. They need to control. They need to be top dog. They need to be the one. They get angry quickly. They constantly remind others of their shortcomings and their weaknesses. And that's their opening. That's how they get in. Sometimes when you have students that are timid or have a poor self-image or just frail and shy, they're easy picking. When you confront that personality with an aggressive control freak, it's a recipe for disaster. Bullies make people feel afraid. And you know what? You know what characterizes a bully also? He always has a group of people standing behind him. He always has 2, 3, 4 buddies standing behind him. And they're always quiet, if you notice. When you have seen movies on TV or gone to the show and there's a segment of bullies, you always see the one person in the front. Be it male or female, there's no gender distinction in bullying. But notice or kind of recall that bully is always standing in front, slightly in front of everybody else, and everybody else is behind him, not saying much, or, you know, maybe just agreeing, that kind of stuff, but never actually carrying on a conversation because that person is in charge and in control and they're just going to be his support system or her support system. You know, to intimidate somebody, to scare somebody, to intend to hurt or harm somebody, it's not right. And imagine the victim that has to go through this on a regular basis, if not a daily basis. Come in all shapes and sizes, gender, race, whatever it is. You know, age, ethnicity has nothing to do with being a bully. Perhaps you were a bully. Perhaps you were bullied. Perhaps you know a bully. You know, all these things sound so familiar. I don't think I'm saying anything that anyone has not heard of before. And you kind of wonder, how does this relate to Scripture? Well, the scripture verses I gave you, 1 Samuel 17, it talks about David and Goliath. Everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. But Goliath was a bully. He bullied the whole army of the Israelites. The whole army. This one man bullied. Single-handedly bullied a whole army. He intimidated them. He basically, as we continue to go in there, into the story of this, he intimidated them based on his size and his strength. You know, children are bullied by children, bully their wives. Wives bully their husbands. Elderly get abused and bullied so badly. And sometimes they don't even have an advocate. Rich people, poor people, wise people, smart people, intelligent people, teenagers, ministers, preachers, deacons, sometimes can be bullies. Sometimes are bullies. What can we do? Bullies are like what? Small-minded people? They just want power and control over others. That's all. There's something within them that makes them feel that they have to do what they have to do. I know a person that loves to play basketball. And usually the basketball players are in their 6 feet and going into their 7 feet in height. And this player was not quite that tall. He was still in his fives. But he loved basketball so well, and he was good at it. But he had to intimidate others to show how good he really was. And actually, he really was good. He wound up playing semi-pro ball, traveling the countries and all, because he was that good. But the thing of it is, with him in this particular case, he was shorter than most regular height basketball players, but he had to show how good he was, not just physically on the court, but he had to show how big and tough he was verbally and action-wise. He felt that he had to make people know, I'm just as good as you are. I can play just as well as you can. Just his performance was not enough in his sight. He had to go further and further on to make sure everybody knew he wasn't, that he had a good jump shot, he had a good fall away shot. He was good. He could run, he could jump, he could do it. He could play basketball. And that was where he fell short, is where he felt he wasn't as good And so it kind of created problems on and off the field, on and off the court. And so sometimes there's deep-seated problems elsewhere, or there's unresolved issues elsewhere that begin to come out. You know, sometimes children get mad at their parents, so they take it out on their brothers and sisters because they can't take it out on their parents. We see that all the time. That's not anything new. That's not anything out of the ordinary. And so we need to keep an eye out. And I have a few, before we get into our scripture, I have just a few maybe tips or suggestions for parents. And you can take them for what they're worth, but in order to be aware, we need to be open-minded. Parents, talk to your children. Be an active part of their life. In this instance, in the instance of bullying, don't find fault with them. Don't find fault with them. And take all threats seriously. When you're at home, monitor your medications, monitor any weapons that may be in the house, monitor kitchen knives, be aware of belts and jump ropes. Notice your child's behavior and their demeanor. Are they locked up in their room? Do they become withdrawn? Insist on knowing your friends, your children's friends. Get their phone numbers. And it's not that you want to spy on them, but in the case of tragedy like this, you need a reference point. You know, well, her friend is Susie Jones. Let me call Susie. Susie, have you seen? These are important. These are important things. And the reason I'm offering tips and suggestions is because this is real. It can happen to you, to me, to your family, to your children. It can happen, and we need to be able to be prepared. Not to scare you. I'm not trying to do that. I just want you to be aware. You know, talk to school authorities. Talk to the police. Talk to doctors. Keep the lines of communication open. You know, talk to suicide hotline. You know, these are important. You know, and bullying may not be stopped. It may not be stopped, but we can put a dent in it, and we can kind of control it. And I want to take a break right now just in case anyone has anything to say. Please text 319-471-3074. If you want to call in, 657-383-0361. And let me know if you know a bully, if you have been bullied, if you suspect your child is being bullied, and we can just talk. Sometimes parents need to talk too. This is a hard thing for a parent to go through. Their child is being bullied. Their child is being hurt. You send your child to school to get an education, and they can't think. They can't study. They can't concentrate because they're afraid. They can't play and socialize with the other children because they're afraid. You know, it's sometimes really, really hard to get your children to open up until it's too late. And that's why you need to always involve yourself actively with your children. Talk to your children. If they're being bullied, tell them, look them in the eye and tell them, back off, leave me alone. And there are other children who are bullied that aren't so fearful in that regard, but you don't want to intimidate bullies either. You know, find when it's appropriate to walk away. not just walk away for fear or being scared, but when it's appropriate time to do so. What about cyberbullying? You know that's running rampant also. The internet, the children can go anywhere they want on their internet if you don't have the parent lockdown on certain sites. And bullying via the computer and internet is becoming very high also. But some of the things you can do in that case, which is a little easier, is to just block them. Don't respond. Save the evidence. Change your account. Consult local authorities. And be careful. You know, we need to start standing up and taking part, you know, becoming involved in community actions and become involved in the PTA. And I know everybody works, everybody has two jobs, and they're tired and stressed out at the end of the day. And, you know, you work 12 hours a day, and you have your household responsibilities and church responsibilities and civic responsibilities. But we can't overlook the responsibilities of our children and of ourselves. Especially if there's bullying on the job. Be careful. Be aware of it. Now they call it what's harassment, sexual harassment, verbal harassment, all that. Be careful for that. Employees, be careful. Employers, be aware of that also. And those were just a few little tips that I wanted to share with you, because I wanted to open up this segment with what we may have experienced, what we may be presently experiencing, and some things that we can do that maybe can help slow down or help prevent bullying altogether in your segment of life. In your little area of the world, in your little corner of society. So when you call in, when you text in, I'll be waiting for your response. In our scripture today, it talks about David and Goliath, and the word Goliath just by itself means splendor. We might not have studied about David and Goliath in this fashion in Sunday school or in our Sunday sermon, but we see how the Bible presents Goliath as a big old giant bully. Basically, he was 9 feet tall, and the Israelites on an average are usually 5'10", 5'11", somewhere. They're usually under 6 feet. And so simply by his stature, he was tall enough to bully them. And so what happens is when somebody is older, somebody is bigger, somebody feels that they can overcome someone, they're going to let it be known sometimes. And so to give you a little bit of background of this story, these two armies, the armies of Goliath and the Israelites, Goliath was a Philistine, and the Israelites always warred against each other. And so what happened was, and which was a normal part of their battles, was that they picked a champion. It was just known how they did war in those days. They picked a champion, and whatever champion won, then the other army would become slaves and servants of the champion, where they wouldn't have to actually, the armies wouldn't have to actually go into battle. They would just have the one fight, and then whoever won, that's how the army won. So, in this case, the little bitty David challenged Goliath. And so what happened was, as they began to battle, Goliath talked all kind of trash. He was defying the armies of the living God. He talked about how bad they were, the usual trash talk. And so here is David, little bitty old shepherd boy, no experience as a soldier, just a shepherd boy. He got mad and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's going to talk about the armies of God? Now, how many times do we stand up for our family members? All the time. We may not agree with what our family members do, but we will defend them in public. We will not let anybody torment or hurt or mess with our family members out in public. When we get home, behind closed doors, it's a different story. And so David took it upon himself to say, no. All you soldiers are scared here, but I'm not. I'm trusting in God to take care of this matter. And so the two confronted. The giant Goliath confronted the little shepherd boy, David. Now remember, David is no battle experienced individual. Goliath is a seasoned soldier. And so he felt insulted. He felt insulted that the king of Israel, which was Saul at that time, would send a scrawny little shepherd boy to confront him in battle. And so he continued to torment and bully, and we're going to take over, and you're going to be our slaves, and on and on and on. And so you know the story. David slew Goliath, and the armies of Israel won. So in order to keep everything right, we won. You have to be our slaves. They fled. They fled the scene and did not want to serve. That was an insult. To be a slave to Israel? Oh, no, we're not going to have any of that. And so that's how that story went. And I pointed this out just to show that bullies are everywhere. What can we do? Can we run and hide? Sure. Will that last? Of course not. And started out saying, unfair, 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 unfair. Life is unfair. It definitely is. You know, the Bible says we're going to have tribulations. But I have a question for you, and I need a response. If life is so unfair and people are tormented and hurt so much so that they feel they have to take their life as the only solution. My question is to you, and it's a thought question. Well, maybe it's more than a thought question. Maybe it's several. Where is God? We say God is loving and kind and benevolent and merciful. Where is he? Why is he allowing this to go on? Why is he allowing this to take place? Thought questions that really, really are important. Christians, I know you're out there listening. I need a response to that. Those of you who are not believers in the God of the Bible, I need a response. What do I tell someone who has asked me that? How do I comfort somebody with the word of God when they're suffering from being bullied, when they are about to take their life, when they are so desperate? Well, God doesn't love me. God forgot about me. God doesn't care about me. Why? I thought I was a good Christian. I thought I was a good person. I thought I did everything God told me to do. Caller, I have a caller.
Welcome Rosa, this is Donnie. I apologize. I did get a caller. They presented their answer to your question and wanted me to present it to you. They say reason that God allows this to happen is because of free will, and would like your thoughts on that concept of free will.
Okay. Thank you very much, caller. Texter, I really appreciate that question. You're saying that God lets us go through things because of free will. Our free will, his free will, whose free will? If you are thinking of our free will, I will respond this way. God did give us free will. He did. And the reason, per scripture, that he gave us free will is so that we can choose to love him without being forced to do so. He could have made us that way. He could have not given us free will. But you're saying that we have free will to be mean. We have free will to be nasty. We have free will to hurt, to destroy, to maim, to cause the death of someone. We have the free will to do that? I don't think so. If God gave us free will, that wasn't his intent, that we have the free will to hurt people, because throughout the Bible, he's telling us, be nice, be kind, treat others with love and respect and forgiveness. So those things right there don't seem to match. We have the free will to choose wrong if we want. We have the free will to disobey, because God gave us choice to love him. The reason we have free will, in which usually mankind takes everything out of context and runs with it, you give them an inch and they take a mile. The reason we have free will is directed toward God, that we will love him because we want to. We choose to have him in our life. We choose to obey him. We choose to honor him because we want to, not because we're forced to. So all this other, we have the free will, does not apply worldwide in all situations. Because if we have the free will to do whatever we want, what's the purpose of having a law? God's law, man's law, civil law, state law, government law, there would be no need if we had the free will to do anything we want. Because now when we do things because we want, there's consequences, there's punishment. So just to say we have free will, it doesn't apply in this case. And I hope I answered your question. If I didn't answer, please let me know, and we'll continue to work through this, because it's important. And we come across, we have a free will. God gave us that, and yes, we do. But it doesn't apply in all situations. We can do these things. Yeah, we have the ability to be hurtful. We have the ability to be kind. You choose hurtful because you have a free will. You choose kindness because you have a free will. In that regard, yeah, you could do whatever you want, but we can see from Scripture that's not God's intent. We take God's word and run with it as fast as we can. Well, this is what God said, and this is what God does. Then if that be the case, why did God say love your enemy? Be kind to those who hurt you. If we get the free will, the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that got wiped out. When Jesus came, he said, you can't do that anymore. He said, be kind, forgive. So I hope I'm not beating a dead horse, but yes, we do have free will. but not to do whatever we want with, if that makes sense. Thank you so much, caller. We really appreciate that. And as I see our time winding down, I still urge you to think about this question. A lot of people think that's our excuse and our coverall. What do you think? Put yourself in the victim's place. Well, I'm getting ready to commit suicide because they had the free will to bully me. How do you think that victim feels? I'm getting ready to take my life because they say my clothes are no good. They say I stink. They say I'm not cute. They say I'm dumb, so I'm going to kill myself. You think that's going to hold up with God? If you so believe in God, how we distort his word? You have the free will to love God or not love God. That's basically as far as your free will goes, because God sets limits and limitations. The law sets limits and limitations. The government sets laws and limitations. Oh, I want to rob this bank because I have the free will to do so, so I can't. So if I have the free will to do so, why am I going to be punished? Why is God going to hold me accountable? Well, God, you gave me free will. I get to do what I want. Look at the position we're putting God in. And, caller, that's a perfect answer because we hear that all the time. Christians tell us, well, we got free will. We got free will. We got free will. Yay for God. He gave us free will. We have boundaries and we have limits. And as our time closes, I would like to just this time end with a small prayer. I would like to pray God's blessings on those who are bullied, those who are being bullied, those who are bullied. If you would just take a few moments with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to share your word. We ask that we continue to do as you would have us to do, to use our free will according to your desire, according to what you said. Bless the families of victims of bullying. Bless the husbands and wives of bullying. Bless the employees and the employers, the students and the teachers, all those who are affected by bullying one way or the other, whether they are bullies or whether they're being bullied, that you would bring a sense of love and camaraderie with those, that we can live in unity as you have would have us, that we love one another, that we prefer one another, that we're kind to one another, that we share with one another, that we forgive one another. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer with me, I am so grateful. And hopefully as we continue to move on throughout our lives, that when we see bullying, we can begin to put a stop to it. We can begin to speak out against it. And I am so grateful to our caller because there are so many issues in the Bible that need to be talked about. There are so many concepts that sometimes we're confused about. Sometimes we may not quite understand the Bible meaning of things. Not to say we're ignorant. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying things to turn you away from God. I'm not trying to distort your concept of religion. But, even if you don't have a religion background, you know it's wrong to do certain things. You know it's wrong to mistreat people. You don't need a reason why I should or shouldn't do that because you already know. We know schools have rules. Jobs have rules. Everybody has rules. Households have rules. And when you go contrary, or when you misinterpret it or when you don't follow it, there's going to be trouble, which inevitably bring consequences. It's like, okay, on Saturday, you tell your child, don't go on the street, don't go on the street, don't play in the street. Okay, here comes Tuesday. Well, you told me on Saturday that I couldn't go on the street. You didn't say I couldn't go on Tuesday. Do you see how we misinterpret and distort things? And so I would like to thank you for tuning into the program. We wish you a happy and healthy and prosperous week. We thank you to our producer, Mr. Donnie Jackson, and the Black Squirrels Network for making this broadcast possible. Have a great day, and until then, this is Rose Hart for If These Things Be So. God bless.